പുത്രേതിധർമ്മയതയത്തരവോഹിനീ ദുഃഖം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിർമാനദോസ്മൈ യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാസദീപം അതിദിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണ ഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ വരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തദോജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഖമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകൊണിതാദൃതാനനെന്തോഹ മമ വാചി വിചുംബദാം മുരാരേ മധുരീണാം കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി മമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ വിഷ്ണുപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിയേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പശ്ചാത്തലാദേശകാരിണി ശ്രീമതി ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണ വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാതിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണമേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതി സുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയം വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദം വേദ്യമനം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസതം പുരതോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതീകിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ ശ്രീമയാധ്യായ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
started last Saturday, last Sunday, the 10th chapter in Canto 11, Ekadasi Skandam. We saw that Krishna was going deeper into the philosophical side of Krishna consciousness. Krishna began with the statement, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Mayodideshavahita Sodharmeshu Madashrayaha Varnashama Pudacharam Agamatma Samacharet. That's how Krishna begins that chapter. Mayodidesha Vahida Sudharmeshu Madashrayaha. So Krishna gives there the indication that executing dharma fully dependent on Krishna is the beginning of preparing for spiritual life. Not spiritual life, preparing for the spiritual life begins there.
Varnashrama kulacharam
agamatma samacharam. That one should execute varnashrama dharmam, the duties in varnashrama dharmam, according to, without expectation of results, agamatma samacharam. He should execute the duties according to varnashrama dharmam. That prepares one,
what we saw,
anukshata vishuddhalma. The person who has executed varnashrama dharmam in that way, he becomes pure, he becomes qualified to receive the transcendental knowledge. In other words, it is just the preparation part of it, of Krishna consciousness. Anucheda Vishuddhalpa Dehinam Vishayalpanam. That by executing Varnashrama Dharmam in the proper way, the advantage is, Krishna is saying there, that he will see things from a different angle in life. At the moment, when we do not follow Krishna's instructions, we see according to our mind, how our mind perceives things. Mind makes a decision whether it's good or bad. But And the mind will always tell you based on the senses. If the senses gives you a reply, senses gives you a information, that the mind will decide whether it is pleasing to the senses or pleasing to the mind. On that basis, we are making the decision today in our life, when we are not following the system. But Krishna's point is, anyuchyata viśuddhātmā dehinām viṣayātmanām, that person who has purified himself through the right process, what will happen is, dehinām viṣayātmanām, he will see things in this world of the fate of those people who are following the sense, path of sense enjoyment. This is the advantage. Those who are following the path of sense enjoyment, and the results from that, what comes after that, will be understood by those who have purified themselves through the process of varnashrama dharma. You can see that point. Anyuchyata viśuddhātmā dehinām viṣayātmanām. Krishna is saying, viṣayātmanām means those who are surrendered to senses and sense enjoyment. We were discussing that. Viśuddhātmā dehinām viṣayātmanām. Then what happens? Guneshu tattvadhyānena sarvārambha vipayayam. That guneshu tattvadhyānena, that tattvadhyānam will begins there. Tattvadhyānam means your philosophical mind, developing the philosophical nature or philosophical inquiry or searching after the truth, philosophical search for the truth will begin at that point. And up to that time it won't happen. A lot of things we talk on a mental level, isn't it? On a mental platform. Suddenly some idea comes to the head, immediately question you fire. And what answer it comes out, you think, oh, that could be correct, that could be wrong. That is not the way to understand Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a science. Krishna is presenting a science to us. So, till we understand that science, asking any questions hasn't got much meaning. Because Krishna is saying here, anyuchyata viśuddhātmā dehinām viṣayātmanām, that viṣayātmanām, people who, this thinking nature in a person, that endeavoring very hard in the material world to become happy is not going to work out. Because by observation alone, an intelligent person will come to that conclusion. Not by, it doesn't have to be taught. By, he doesn't have to be forced to accept it. Before being forced, he will think himself and see from the world that guneshu tattvadhyānena sarvārambha vipayayam, that he will see that tattvadhyānam or search will begin inside. And sarva arambha vibhajayam, that he will give up all the endeavor for sense enjoyment, all the endeavor for material happiness. This has to happen within. It cannot be forced upon somebody. It has to come from within a person, that sarva arambha vibhajayam, he should be able to give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and material happiness simply by observing this world. And that will only happen when Krishna is saying, anyuchyata viśuddhātmā. Viśuddhātmā, one who is purified by following the process of varnāśrama dharma. So therefore, all these rules and regulations, Krishna is giving a hint there about that. Then, we discussed all that, then we saw that, suptasya viṣayālokho vyāyadova manavaryathāha nāyālpadattu vibhala tathā bhedātmadiyar unaihi. That suptasya viṣayālokha, that viṣayālokam, logam is full of viṣayālokam. Viṣayālokam means the world of sense enjoyment. Suptasya viṣayāloka, that while sleeping in the dream state or in the what you are experiencing is suptasya viṣayāloka. There is a world that you are experiencing in the dream state, and Krishna is saying here suptasya viṣayāloka dhyāyadova manorathaḥ manorathaṁ. It is like also when we say that dream state means, actually dream state is a very it's something which we have to think about. When Krishna is saying dream state, he means something different than when we call it as dream state. We call it as dream state only when we are sleeping, isn't it? The dream that comes. That's what we call it as dream state. But Krishna's dream state is a little different. Just like normally if you observe in this world, more if you keep looking and observing at people, you will notice one thing, that everyone is in a dream state. Everyone is in a dream state. Whatever that you have given importance in your life, that will be going through your, that is what is working in your mind all the time. For some people, it's making money. For some people, it is how to make the body beautiful. For some people, it is health important. So whatever that thoughts are going through, that is your dream state in your mind. So even while somebody is walking on a street, if you look at him, although physically he is present on the street, his mind will be working on something different. So that is a dream state. That is not a Jagrat state. This is what we have to remember. So Krishna is saying here that in our life here, 90% of the time we are in this dream state. Everyone will agree with that, because just like you are sitting here now listening to class, but I'm sure thoughts will be going through inside, what happens after the class, what I have to do. These thoughts will be going on now itself in an unconscious, subconscious mind. It is natural. That is a dream state. So therefore, many things what we are discussing may not go in. Why? And similarly, when you are driving home, you'll be thinking what I have to do when I get home after that. And when you're going to sleep, you'll be thinking about tomorrow what I have to do. This is the dream state. So suptasya vishayan loga dhyayadova manoradhaha. This manoradham, this mental chariot, what we are always traveling, Krishna has given a name for that. Krishna has given a name for that in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see that these things mentioned also. That Krishna considers that while you are in that dream state, you won't be able to understand what Krishna is saying. This is why Bhagavatam is not going in. What we complain about Bhagavatam, oh, I heard all that, but nothing is clicking, we say. Why it's not clicking? Because we are in that dream state. Most of the time, we are in that dream state. Every one of us, we are in that dream state. So, coming out of the dream state, this is what a lot of Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but discussion of Swapnam and Aswapnam. Dream and not dream state. So, if you understand Bhagavatam in that way, you will see, even including Rasa Dance, Krishna's Rasa Dance, is also related to that. But that is a different topic, we'll discuss it later. But dream state is such a powerful thing that it is not only while you sleep at night the dream state exists. Dream state exists during the day, while with our eyes wide open we are dreaming. Why? Because this has become a habit with us. We never had them. Thought about. We thought our eyes are open, so we must not be sleeping. That's all we are saying. But that's not true. So, we were discussing that. We saw there that in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna will say that whatever you have given importance in life, that will be the main topic in your dream. Krishna says, whatever you have given importance in your life, that will be the main topic in your dream throughout the day also. So, for example, if you are given making money as the most important thing, making money as important thing in life, what will happen is that you will think about different ways of making money. You will think about those people who have made money, how they have made money. And you will also see by making money what will happen to you in life. This dream is unlimited. This can go take you to such different lengths. It's very difficult to explain how everyone dreams about these things. But generally you can say that depending on whatever importance you have given in life, that will be your dream also. That will be your dream state. In the night, what happens in the dream state? That's another thing. That is, a lot depends on what you have dreamt in the day and plus all the other hidden vasanas inside. That starts coming out along with that. And that is a night dream. Day dream and night dream. So, there is nothing but dream state. So, Krishna is saying, that thing what you have given importance in life, Krishna calls it as vyavasayatmiya buddhi. Vyavasayatmiya buddhi. Krishna says vyavasayatmiya buddhi. So, vyavasayatmiya buddhi in the third or fourth chapter you will find there, Krishna gives this title to it, vyavasayatmiya buddhi samadhau na vidhiyate. One who has given importance to such things, he will never have samadhanam or peace in his mind. Because he has built his castle based on all these foundations of making money or living a happy, comfortable life or family or this or whatever that is. Some people, it's family life, very important for them. So what do? Whole day and night thinking about the family, how the family will be happy. And in that process, that dream goes on, the family dream, or the money dream goes on, or the health dream goes on. Or something else. There are so many things to dream about. So, suptasya vishayan loga dhyayadova manoradhaha. Krishna is saying here. That Krishna is saying that if one does not free oneself from this dream and come out of it, what will happen is, he says there, that nanatmadatvadhyavala tatha bhedatmadehi gunehi. That nanatmadatvam, this nanatmadatvam is the dream. Nanatmadatvam means this variegated way of dreaming things. Nanatmadatvadhyavala, that is, that will make you take your time away from everything. And you will, that process, you are dying. You are losing your body also at the end. Nanatmadatvadhyavala tatha bhedatmadehi gunehi. That all these things have come from what? How did this dream begin? Dream began with the different modes of nature. Isn't it? Different modes of nature in conjunction with the three modes of material nature, with the mind and intelligence, has created this dream in us. So that's why Krishna is saying, nanatmadatvadhyavala tatha bhedatmadehi gunehi. That the intelligence has been infected with this material nature. Mainly it is coming from this kind of dreams, coming from rajogunam and tamogunam. So, unless in rajogunam and tamogunam, when it is present in a person to a higher degree, his dreams will be all centered around these kind of things. Family, money, popularity and all sorts of things like that, which has no importance in spiritual life. So, manalpavattvadhvara tatha bhedalpadehi gunehi. That gunams will start influencing, and unknowingly we get a part, become a part of that. That is the most important thing Krishna is saying there. In that, and therefore, manatmatum has come to it. But we will come a little bit more further. We'll see something more interesting than this. Because when Krishna opens up some of these things, and we start looking at ourselves and see what's going on within us, then you can see that what Krishna says is sensible. What we cannot. We have to agree with that. So, in that process, we are talking about the material body itself, our own material body. That's where we have to begin with, isn't it? Our own body, which we are supposed to be identifying ourselves with it and thinking that we are this body. It is from this conception everything has begun. So, Krishna is saying here that this body is the root of a very powerful dream, very, very powerful dream. The root of that is this body. That and one can never say how this body will react in any situation. One can never say how this body will react in any situation. So, as I mentioned before, the dream that is coming from this, from the soul, when the dream first mind is developed, it is a very subtle side of the dream. The subtle side of the dream is the mind. And the gross side of the dream is this body. Gross side of the dream is this body. So, as the body, you can see that the body itself, if you analyze it in this way, that the body's nature, if you look at it, you can see how the body behaves. The body has come to us. We didn't ask for this particular body. We had no choice in it, isn't it? It was given to us. It was given to us before, without we being asking for it. Without, that is the first thing to remember about this body. Body was given to you. Not that you have asked for this body. Karma vasana and the modes of nature together decided what kind of body you should have. Accordingly, you got the body in which you have absolutely no control over it. The body was given to you. Take this body, male body, female body, white body, black body, brown body, whichever body it is. Who had any choice? Nobody had any choice, is it? We never had any choice in getting the body what we got. That's number one. Secondly, after getting the body, if you think that you can control this body, that is another illusion. Body acts on its own, on which also we have no control. Okay, externally we may say so many things. I can do so many things with this body. When you get sick, you can go to the doctor. Doctor will give you medicines. Many times it works, and many times doctors also don't have a solution for the problem. They may try to extend their life by very powerful means, and somehow they may able to maintain your body a little bit longer. But at the end of the day, inside what's going on inside the body, they also don't know. You also don't know. We don't know anything about it. So the body behaves in a very peculiar way. Very body behaves in a very peculiar way. You have no control on anything in respect to the body. That is a fact. Although we try our best with the available means and available facilities, we try to maintain this body so that we can do what we want to do in this world. That's all we are doing today. There's nothing more than that. When this body will let you down, you don't know. It can go any time. So in other words, first thing, body was given to you, not your choice. Second thing, body is something which you have no control over it, how it behaves, how the body behaves. Now the third thing about these two is that while you are keeping an eye on it and you are doing everything, one day it leaves you also. It leaves you and goes away. So where are we in this situation? We think that, oh, it's me, and it is this body which I am identifying with, on which you had no control. It acted as though completely independently. Actually, the people have to understand this process a little deeper. Only then you can appreciate this thinking. That body behaves on its own way. Only when the illness comes, you know that something is wrong with the body, isn't it? Where the illness has started, you don't know. You go to the doctor, doctor may give you some answer. Sometimes it can be right, sometimes it can be wrong also. When it's wrong, they keep sending you for another checkup and another scanning and another all that. They are also not sure where it is originated from. Nobody can pinpoint clearly and tell you this is what has caused it. That's the nature of the body. Material body's nature is like that. Secondly, even while taking care of this body, so strongly what we are doing, one day it leaves you and goes away. So that's why it's called a dream. That's why this body is called a dream. In the sense that it has come to you, it has stayed with you sometime and it has left you. At its own time. When it wanted to leave, it goes away. And we identify with this body, and that's what Krishna is talking about. Body is called apramaniyam. Apramaniyam means it has no proper basis on which it operates. Then what you'll also know that is, one thing what you'll also know is that there is something which is unknown to us. An unknown power in this world is playing with this body. We don't have any control over it. That is the most wonderful thing. That you will also understand one thing. Today, when we have this identification as I am, or the false ego in me, which is in all of us, and that is how we call ourselves as I. So this identification with the I am this, I am, that's called ego, isn't it? Ahankara. This ahankaram in us, the false ego in us, we are thinking that this, and according to that, the body is working. This is how we are at the moment, isn't it? When the knowledge is strengthened in a person, spiritual knowledge is strengthened in a person, you will realize that the false ego and the way the body is functioning has no connection at all. The false ego in us and the way the body is acting in this world has no connection. They are totally two independent things. It is another illusion in us making, that won't be clear now. That requires a detailed study of these topics and detailed analysis, and you have to look at yourself and analyze it in within yourself. And one day, realized soul says to us, body acts on its own, your ego is acting on its own. They are two different routes it's working. Today we are thinking in our conditioned state that according to my ego, ego means the thought that I am independent, I am this, I am that, all things what's come from that. Actually, ego is the most difficult thing to understand. When you explain about ego, everybody is thinking, oh, I don't have any ego, they say. Like that, I don't have any ego. Do you know that every emotion comes from the ego? It's ego that is causing the emotion. When you get angry, actually it is your ego that's causing the anger. When you feel any kind of greed or any emotions like that, it's coming from ego. The ego is strong inside, and that ego is manifesting through different channels. That's why ego is the one which has to go first. And that is not easy. That ego won't go easily. Ego is everybody, very strong in everyone. When we talk, you can see, I did this, I did that, I went there, I done this. All this I, where is I coming from? Because that powerful ego inside. And that is not easy to get out of it. So Krishna is talking about that here. That the material body is working under the control of one power. the ego is acting independently in this world. Ego is acting independently in this world. Why we are discussing about this is, when you say Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, that Sharanam Vraja is actually wiping off this ego from inside completely to go. And it won't go. And that is why it is so difficult to make Sharanagati, to surrender to Krishna. The ego inside won't go easily. You can cover it up with so many things, but it won't go easily from inside. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is also saying that Sarvadharmam Parityajya, the Sharanam, surrender. Surrender is the most difficult thing, surrendering to Krishna. Why it is most difficult? Because this ego is with me. As soon as you wake up in the morning, as soon as you wake up from the deep sleep, and when you come to the vacant state, when you come to the vacant state, what is the first thing that was woken up? It is this ego. Isn't it? That is ego. It's not that ego means that actually this world is nothing but a community of egos, basically. It's nothing but a community of egos. So many egos are working in this world. One ego is working. But to have some peace in this world, the egos have made a decision together that we will act in a particular way so that your ego won't hit my ego and my ego won't hit your ego. This is how it is working. This whole world is working on this principle. But ego is there in everyone. Ahangaram, ahangaram. Krishna keeps calling it as ahangaram. So this ahangaram, the principle is this, that ahangaram affects everyone, and when ahangaram is powerfully acting in this world, we fall into that, and that wakes up from the very morning when we wake up in the first time from the sushupti, when we come to the vacant state. As the first thing that wakes up is the ego. Ego wakes up, and along with that, we are becoming conscious of the body, the mind, everything. But when the ego wakes up in the morning, along with that, the mind, the body, everything also is in action. So, on the one hand, material body is working on independently, on its own. Although you are, because you are identifying with the body, you provide all these things. What Krishna is saying here is, that if that ego has gone away from a person, then he will not be in the bodily concept of life anymore. So before coming out of this bodily concept of life, the ego has to go from a inside. Ahangara vimodhatma, Krishna is saying like that. If you leave this body, if you understand this principle, that the body is not under your control and it is under the control of another power which is controlling all of us at different ways in this world. If you understand that, then, and if you leave the body to that power to handle it, then you have escaped from a big problem. On the other hand, if you think more and more, pull the body to your side and start identifying with the body, then it creates more problem. Because body is controlled, but this will only be clear when the knowledge, spiritual knowledge, becomes stronger in a person. That the ego in me and the my body has no connection. They act totally independently. Ego acts its own way in this world. Body acts its own way. They are totally independent. But at the moment, we have no knowledge of that. So what happens? Once we understand this, In Shastram, it is called anirvajaniyam. Anirvajaniyam means which cannot be defined. You cannot define it. The body is anirvajaniyam, they call it. You can't define this body, how it will work. You can't define the mind either. You can't define the mind. You can't define the false ego also. You can't define the false ego also, ahangaram. You can't define these three things. How much false ego one person has got, can you measure it? And can you quantify it? No. How does a person's mind work? You cannot talk about it. It can work in any way. Isn't it? Similarly, how the body functions also, Krishna says, you can't decide that, how it will work. All these three things are controlled by another force. So therefore, because it is like that, Krishna is saying, the only truth in all these things is the soul. Neither the body, nor the mind, nor the ego. All these things are false, as far as Krishna is concerned. Therefore, Krishna says, don't waste your time studying mind, body and the false ego. See, Krishna's logic is like that. If you study about the soul, Krishna is saying, if you study about the soul, because it is eternal, because it is a truth, unchanging, and it is the reality, you will get somewhere if you study about the soul. If you study about the body, if you study about the mind, if you study about the false ego, you won't get anywhere. And this is the reason why scientific research will continue forever. Do you see Krishna's logic? Krishna's point is, in all these things, there is one thing which is eternal, permanent, unchanging, reality, the truth, that is the soul. And that you can study and you can realize it one day. Krishna's point is this. You can realize that truth one day if you put enough effort into it, and by Krishna's mercy one day you can realize it. Body, mind, false ego, these are all false things because it's constantly changing. You will study something today, tomorrow you will find it is something different. That's why research will continue forever. Research will never stop. So long as this nature of the body, mind and the false ego is like this, existing, this research will continue eternally in this world. Therefore, the sages knew this. From the very beginning, they were conscious of it. They didn't want to waste their time in studying the mind, body and the ego. When we talk about ego, it means all our activities are coming from ego. That's why ahankaram, shariram, manasa, three things. These three things, if you keep on working over it, day in and day out, you won't get anywhere. That is Krishna's point. On the other hand, Krishna is saying that if you direct all your energy in realizing the soul, because the soul is permanent, and soul is eternal, and soul is the truth, you will get somewhere. You can realize it, and that knowledge will stay. The other knowledge you will lose one day, because it will change, and your knowledge has no meaning then.
Suttasya vishayan loko dhyayadova manorathe.
This is coming from manoratha. This whole thing, what the science and technology has developed, has come from manoratha.
Suttasya vishayan lokaha dhyayadova manorathaha nanatmagatva vipala tatha bhedalpadir gunehi.
That nanatmagatvam, but scientists are thinking, oh, such a variety for us to study, isn't it? We have got this planet, then we can go to another planet to study what goes on there, another planet elsewhere, like this, unlimited, whole life you can study, run your research project. Is it not? So that's what it is. You see, Krishna has summarized everything in these little words. Nanatmagatvadvibhala tatha bhedatmadir gunaihi. That gunam, the three modes of nature, that is what is pushing the mind and intelligence to work in that direction. So the intelligent person, as far as Krishna is concerned, the intelligent person is that person who has given up wasting time on mind, body and the false ego, rather turned towards the soul. Because spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization has meaning, has substance in it. If you realize spirit, soul, spiritual identity, that's why self-realization is given so much importance by Krishna, that you realize it's worthwhile pursuing this knowledge. That's Krishna's point. The other knowledge is not worthwhile at all. You may acquire those knowledge for, again, to maintain your so-called body. That's all, which will leave you one day anyway. So why go after that? This is Krishna's point. So, suptasya vishayan loka. Suptasya vishayan loka. Dhyayadova manoradaha nanatmagatvai vihala tatha bhedatmadhir gunaihi. Bhedatmadhir gunaihi. That bhedam has come to him according to the modes of nature. So having said that, Krishna is saying that if that is the case, what do we do with this body then? Isn't it? Actually this question will come. He says, body is only useful for one thing. Because you have got it, you can't get rid of it straight away. Use it for whatever purpose to transact in this world, for transactions. Vyavaharam it's called. For transactional purposes, you can use this body. That's all it's worthwhile for. You can use it body for that purpose, for various transactions.
whatever, you to maintain this body, you have to do various transactions to keep this body going, but not to identify with the body. This is the most important thing. If you can move a little bit to the front, please. So, it is based on this understanding that to what extent we should accept this body seriously. This is an important question. To what extent we should accept this body seriously? We should accept this body fully realizing that this is the position of the body and this is my position. My position means my actual position in terms of the spiritual side. Utilize the body for purpose for which it is useful, to experience through the prarabdha karma, whatever one has to go through this in this world. That at the same time, not allow the body to get into the mind. Not allow the body to get into the mind. These are things which are important. In the beginning of spiritual life, one has to look through these things seriously. Because if you allow, simply repeating the hinosmin yadha dehe day and night is not going to change the thinking in us. You know that verse, the hinosmin yatha dehe komaram yavanam jara deha dehandara prapta dhirasatranam hiri. It's in the second chapter, where Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna understood straight away what Krishna is talking about, that body is changing. By saying that, Krishna was hinting at Arjuna, Krishna was saying to Arjuna, that because the body is changing, you should not give undue importance to it. That's the first thing. So what do we do with the body? And the body is already there. Utilize it for the purpose for which you can use it and forget, not allow that to get into yourself, to your mind. Then not allow the body to take control inside the mind. And it is the same thing when Krishna is talking about everything else in this world. Even relationship between husband and the wife, or between the between the family members, between the society, in everything, Krishna expects this attitude in us. Not to allow that to get in and to influence us. A husband should not allow the wife to get into the mind to that extent and disturb his mind, or in other words, falls victimized by that. Same thing with the husband, with wife and the husband also, in the same way. Because these are pitfalls in spiritual life. That if you allow this to happen, what will happen is that eventually they will take control of the mind and eventually you will lose the battle. Your spiritual strength will go. You will not be able to fight against it. And that's why it is that suptasya vishayan logaha jayadova manoradaha. That manoradham brings all these things, Krishna is saying there. So, from the three modes of nature, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa, what we have got is this mind, intelligence, which are infected with that. Then, when the modes of nature is working, the body is created, and at the same time the mind is created, and also the intelligence is also acting on the same basis. So, as I mentioned before, the two things you can see, one I, me, existing, and the other one this world existing outside. Me and the world. Aham, idam. They call it aham and idam. Pradanjam means this material creation. So, both of them are, from Krishna's point of view, is created and it stays like that with us forever. That in both of them are, cannot be defined what it is. Aham has come from false ego, and the provincial material nature has come, created this material world, which is also constantly changing. Both cannot be defined clearly what they are. They cannot be defined clearly what they are. You cannot define my ego, you cannot define the world outside either. That is the Krishna's point. So, in order to escape from that, Krishna is talking about nivrtam karma seveda pravrtam malpara tejel jityasayam samprabhuto nadriyel karma chodanam. In the next verse, Krishna will say this, that nivrtam karma seveda pravrtam malpara tejel. Then, when the soul is in union with the material nature, when the soul is present in the material nature, and allow the material nature to go through all these different kinds of changes, you know, the six different kinds of changes, which is called Shat Parinamam. What are the six changes? Things takes birth, it starts growing, it starts creating byproducts, it stays for some time, it starts decaying, and eventually it dies. This process in the sixth transformation that's happening in this creation is happening due to the presence of the soul, presence of the living force inside the creation. So, when Krishna is present in that form as a living force within the creation, he is called Ishvara, the controller. That's how he is controlling the material nature. Now, when we experience changes in the weather conditions, the weatherman will tell you, oh, there was a depression in this Atlantic. Or, look at the same planet. In Australia, it is burning now, 40 plus. In America, it is no snow, minus 40 or something going on there. And we have somewhere in between. So, within the same planet, all these things are going on at the same time. It doesn't happen because of depression in the Atlantic, is it? It cannot be. It has to have, there must be some control somewhere who is controlling these things. In this way, it should happen. So, nivrittam karma seveda pravrittam alparatejel. That jityasayam sampravrto nadriyel karma chodanam. That when one understands that this understanding that the Krishna's control in us is to such a degree that he controls us, then you can see these things a little bit clearer. What we are doing now at the moment is, we are observing the phenomenon, all what is happening in this world. Krishna is saying there, you should pay your attention to the truth, who is experiencing, rather than the phenomenon. The person who is experiencing is more important, not what is going on in this world. Our study today is most of the time we study what's changing in the world. Isn't it? What is going on in the world, that's what we are studying all the time. But what Krishna is saying there is, the world is independent of you. You haven't got any control on the changes in this world. That carries on under some other under control, like this body. And the material nature is also in the same way, is controlled by somebody, some another force, like Krishna's another energy, material energy, is controlling that and changing it on its own way. When we say that global warming, temperature is going to go up, right opposite is happening sometimes. Isn't it? So that clearly shows that material nature don't work under our direction. It works under Krishna's direction. Krishna is called Krishna because material energy is controlled by Krishna. Under Krishna's energy, world is working. So Krishna is saying to us, don't pay your attention to what is changing. That's not important. He says, change attention to whom? Who is experiencing this change? That is the soul. Slowly, Krishna is drawing our attention from matter to the soul, from matter to the reality, from falsity to the truth. That's what spiritual life is all about. Directing our attention from so many years we have studied all wrong things. And that wrong thing has become so firmly established in us. When somebody, Krishna is saying to us something, we think we want to question that. Whereas we very happily accepted everything what university told us, didn't we? The colleges and professors and the thousands of books they have written, we have accepted it very happily. Got our degrees, hung it up, got the job, got the salary, everything. That's all very good. But as far as spiritual realization is concerned, Krishna's point is, as you go subtle and subtle in these things, you can see the gross side is not important. The subtle side is more important. And therefore, Ekadasha Skandam is dealing with the subtle side of life, not with the gross side. So therefore, it is a bit difficult sometimes when we discuss Ekadasham. Then, Navrtam karma seveda pravrtam malparatyajel. That directing our attention to the truth. This is spiritual life. Directing our attention from the false side to the truth. The truth is the soul. Krishna is taking various ways to present it to us so that our attention somehow go away from the matter to the soul, to the truth.
This is the point what he is making. So he is saying here that in order to realize that truth, sadhana is necessary. Spiritual sadhana is meant for that, to realize this truth. Then, now when we talk about karma, we mentioned this also before. Nivrittam karma seveda pravrittam malparatyaje. Nivritta karma and pravritta karma, there are two things. What is the difference? Nivritta karma means, karma meant for liberating, for freeing yourself from this bondage or this entangled situation, what we are in today. We are in a very dangerous situation. We don't even know about it, that we are in danger. Only if we know there's a problem, isn't it? Because we don't know that we are caught up in this mess with the body, mind, false ego and everything. We don't know about it. Therefore, Krishna is saying, Nivrittam karma seveta, that karma which will help you to free yourself from this entanglement, that should be executed. Pravrittam malparatyajel. Now, there are so many karma mentioned in the Shastram, in the Smriti particularly, which are meant for a peaceful life in this world, peaceful existence in this world. The purpose of those karma, pravrtta karma, I can give you so many examples. All the sacrifices belong to that category, like putragameshti yagam, agnishtomam, various sacrifices are all in that category. They are all pravrtta karma. Nivrtta karma is that chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and mind absorbing in Krishna, meditation, deity worship, these are all nivrtta karma, meant for freeing yourself from this bondage. Pravrtta karma is that which makes your material life in this world reasonably comfortable. If you live according to pravrtta karma, execute pravrtta karma, you will feel somewhat peaceful situation in this world. Somewhat peaceful situation in this life. All the different samskaras what we talk about, which come from Smriti, is meant for this purpose. And that includes marriage, everything. It's all part of that samskaram. Vivaha samskaram it's called. And similarly, jada karma, nama karanam, annaprashanam, chaulam, upanayanam. There's a number of them. Depending on the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, in the Smritis, you will find so many samskarams mentioned. Now, all those samskarams, what is the purpose of that? To discipline ourselves in this life in such a way that you don't go out of control and act in a crazy way, act in a sinful way, or acting against the principles of religious life. So to keep ourselves in that situation, Smriti and Smartha Karmams are mentioned there. So Krishna is saying here, in Ekadasham, what Krishna is saying is, Nivrutta karma seveda pravrtam malpara tejel. If you have come to this point in your life, that spiritual life is very, very important, and you are intensely searching after the truth, Krishna, then you can forget about pravrtta karma. It's not necessary anymore to follow that. They are not important anymore, because you have crossed that. The purpose of doing all the pravrtta karma was to create this inquisitiveness in us. That was the purpose of that. The purpose of pravrtta karma was, people come and ask, should I perform Shraddha ceremony now? Should I perform this ceremony, Namagarana ceremony? Should I perform this Vivaha ceremony? If you understand the purpose of this ceremony, then this question has no meaning. If you have come to the point in life that you are intensely searching after Krishna, the truth, then Krishna says, give up all this, it's not important anymore. Because you have the purpose for which it was created, you have already got it. What is that? Brahmavaloka Dishanam, Brahma Jinyasa. You have already got it. You don't have to go doing those things again. Just like nursery classes, you do so many things. Why to go to the first standard or to the higher classes? It was only preparation there. Similarly, all the smartha karma, what we are executing in this world, is only to prepare us for this, to generate this desire in us. What? The spiritual realization or the self-realization. Once that has come strongly in us, Krishna is saying, pravrittam malparatyajel. You don't have to do it anymore. Krishna says, don't waste your time on that. The purpose is already served.
that jityasayam sampravrtam nadriyel karma chodanam.
Jityasayam sampravrta karma chodanam nadriyel.
That once you have got that very strongly going in you, which one? This jityasa, brahma jityasa, or brahmavalokadrishana, working very strongly in us, nadriye karma chodana, you should not be at all attracted to any karma. So you can see, spiritual life is not something that you take an instant decision like this. Oh, from now on I am going to be a pure devotee and start working from tomorrow. It doesn't work like that. It's a gradual thing. The sages who know our limitations and who are our well-wishers, who knowing our awkward situation, what we are caught up, knowing very well about our awkward situation and wishing the best for us, they have systematically given us a process how we can move on from one to another. In other words, by saying this, it also gives us a hint that the purpose of life is to create this Brahma Jignasa or Brahma Avalokadrishana. Other things, we should give only that much importance what it deserves. If you give too much importance to it, you will caught up in that and forget the main business. That's the main point Krishna is making here. That, therefore, because of this, there is a lot of problems in this world, isn't it? That while living in a society, there is always problem. There is always giving and taking in the society. Friends, relatives. Very difficult to deal with this too. Because everything is based on giving and taking. Especially it's more important with the relatives than the friends. With the friends you don't feel. But with the relatives, what happens is, lot of expectations also comes. That I have to fulfill. So many things happens within the family and relatives. And in there is always expectations. And when expectations are not fulfilled, there is uneasiness. And therefore, there is more problem within the relatives than with the friends. It always happens like that. It tends to happen that way. That within relatives, there is more misunderstanding and more problems in this world rather than with the friends. With the friends, you give seems to be able to give it away at that time and you don't think more than that. But because it's linked through the body, this relatives business, it always creates more trouble also. But whatever it is, Krishna is saying here, at a certain stage in life, you have to know how to give up both, these friends and so-called relatives, because they will eventually otherwise cause us a problem. Nivrittam karma, this pravrittam alparati, it includes all these things. So I mentioned before that in the relative side, if you start looking and if your connections are very, very strong with relatives, what will happen? There will be so many marriages in the society, in the family. And for each and every marriage, they will invite you. And you, if you start going for all the marriages to satisfy all their needs, you won't have any time for chanting the holy name or taking Krishna consciousness very seriously. You may be thinking, oh, that marriage is also important. Yes, it is important. But at some stage in life, one has to say to them also that so far I have been doing for everybody. Now I have to look after my own spiritual interest. And for a higher purpose, I have to sometimes leave the lower ones in its own way. And if we don't do that, if you try to juggle around with everything together, then you will find that ultimately nothing comes out properly. Now, this will not come out properly anyway. Even if you go for all the marriages, still there will be complaint against you. There's no doubt about that. Everybody's experience is that, isn't it? You go for all the marriages. Then, after the marriage, there will be something they will say, that which you didn't like, for whatever reason it is. So, nivrittam karma, that is why you have to make the decision now. By about 45, 50, you have to start making these decisions. Is that what I want to do my rest of my life, attending all the marriages and all the shraddha ceremonies and all the other attachments in this world? Nivrittam karma seveda. Krishna says, nivrittam karma seveda. You are active. You haven't got so much time in life. You've got a very, very limited amount of time where you have some capacity to do something. And if that time is also lost in pravrittam karma malparatyajel, what will happen? Where is the time for nivritta karma? All time is wasted in pravrtta karma, isn't it? People who are very attached to marriages, they may not like all these things, what Krishna is saying. they will glorify marriage to such an extent and make you feel as this is the highest spiritual activity in this world, getting married. And that has to be done in front of the deity itself, and then it becomes much more bona fide and spiritual. Isn't it? That's how we are trained to think like this. To everything we want to give a spiritual colouring to it. Is it not? But nothing to do with spiritual life. Krishna's, what Krishna is talking about is something different than all these things. So, various things goes on in ignorance. Various things goes on in ignorance. That's why he says here that when are you going to pull back from this pravritta karma? Krishna is asking that question to Uddhava. When should one pull back himself from this pravritta karma? And that is when he says here, because in Bhagavatam, those things are deity worship, sitting oneself and doing things, spiritual activities, chanting the holy name, japam, dhyanam, meditation, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, reflecting on the truth. And Bhagavatam at the very end will say this, Srimal Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam, Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, Yasmin Paramahamsa Megam Amalam, Jnanam Param Giyade. The highest knowledge is spoken in the Srimal Bhagavatam. But what else? Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. Apart from knowledge, Vairagyam and Bhakti will come to your person. Naishkarmyam Avishkardam. He will act in such a way, in a realized state, Naishkarmyam, without expectation of any results from anything. Yet Shrinvan, when one hears Srimad Bhagavatam, then after that what should one do? Vipatan. One should study Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. And after that, the most important thing, Vicharana Paro. Vicharana should start. Vicharana means questioning. Questioning. Whatever you have studied, whatever you have heard, whatever you have read, you should question that. And come to the Yat Shrinvan Vipatan Vicharana Paro. If you do all these things, what will happen? Krishna, Sudha Goswami says there, Bhaktya Vimuchyer Naraha. Your bhakti will become firm. Bhakti means connection with Krishna. Relationship with Krishna will become very firm. Otherwise it won't become firm. That is also implied in that. Yat Shrinvan Vipatan Vicharana Paro. Bhaktya Vimuchyer Naraha. That only through this, by Bhagavata process is like that. The process of Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. Shrinvan, Vipathan and Vicharana Paro. Three things. Hearing, studying it very seriously and questioning it. Vicharana means, you know what that word means. Vicharana means cross-examining, like in the court you do, isn't it? That's Vicharana. So Vicharana means, in the same way, you should Vicharana, you should question Srimad Bhagavatam. And then it will become firmly established within yourself, the truth. Then there is no more wavering after that, whether I should go for marriage or I should chant the holy name. That doubts will go. But sometimes people get such doubts also. Like what is important, they wait up, chanting or the marriage ceremony. And then they decide ultimately, marriage I should go because that's more important now. Why? Because my relatives will get upset with me if I don't go for that. So go for the marriage. So, yet shrinvan vipatan, this is why vicharana is necessary. Vicharana varo bhaktya vimuchyer naraha. That bhakti won't come unless these things are firmly sorted out inside. We have to sort it out within ourselves, what's right and what's wrong. And that can only happen when Krishna says these things, what is spoken in this 10th chapter. Then, after that, he says what one should do after he has reached that state of consciousness. Yaman abhishnam seveda, nayaman malparakwajal, madabhityam gurum shantam, upasida madal magam. It's a very important verse. Now in the next two verses, what Krishna is talking about is two important things. A person who has completed all these things, what we have spoken so far, it's only referring to them, not to all of us. Only one who has understood the last four or five verses we spoke about, starting from Mayavadidesha Navidam, right up to this Nivrtam Karma Seveda. That verse, if he has come, understood it properly and properly digested it inside, then the next thing he should do, two things he's talking about. One thing, he talks about the spiritual master, first verse. And the next verse, he talks about the disciple. First verse, he talks about the spiritual master, and the next verse, he talks about the disciple. What should be a spiritual master? And what should be a disciple?
Those are the two things that's discussed in the next
two verses. Yamanabhishnam seveda neyaman malpare kujil madabhityam gunam shandam upasida madal madam. Malparaha yaman abhishnam seveta neyaman cha kujil seveta.
Then Krishna is saying here that a person who is pursuing the path of spiritual life is called sathaka. One who is pursuing the path of spiritual life, what he should do is he should have yamam and niyamam. You know these words, yamam and niyamam, what it means? Yamam and niyamam, they are discussed later on in the Bhagavadam. We will discuss that later, but if you want to see where it is mentioned in the chapter 19, verse 33, 34 and 35. Krishna will talk about those things, yamam and niyamam, two important things. So, yamam and niyamam are those three verses. What are they? Ahimsa satyam asteyam, asango hri asanjaya, astikyam brahmajaryam ja, maunam vairagyam, asthairyam kshamabhayam, shaujam, jabam, tapasya, homam, shraddha, adityam, madarchanam, tirthadanam parateha, tushti, acharya sevanam. Ede yama, sa niyama, ubhayor dvadasha smridaha, pumsam upasida stada, yatha kamam duhandihi. These are verse 33, 34 and 35 in chapter 19. Krishna's definition of yamam and niyamam. Basically, these are qualities required for a person who is in spiritual life. Only it is spoken with different titles. What we'll do when we come to that part of Bhagavatam, we will discuss about that in depth. But for the moment, you can read through that. You will see what those qualities are. In one word, you can say ahimsa, non-violence; satyam, truthfulness; asteyam, firm belief in the existence of God; anasakti, free from any attachment; asangam, asteyam, asangam hri. Hri means feeling shame in doing certain things. Feeling shame in doing certain things, and which is not proper. When we do things in life, we should feel ashamed to do certain things, and therefore it is called hri. Asanjayaha, that no desire to accumulate wealth. Astikyam, full faith in the dharma, religious principles. Brahmacharyam, maunam, sthairyam, kshama, abhayam. Brahmacharyam means maintaining celibacy. Mauna means silence, and sthirata, sthairya means steadiness, and kshama, patience, and abhayam, fearlessness. Shaujam, cleanliness; jabam, chanting the holy name inside. So the first 12 what we have spoken, they are the yama. They are the yama. But means verse 33 is all yama. Then verse 34 is all niyama. Which are they? Shaujam, the purification of outside; japam, which is purification of inside; and japam, chanting the holy name; tapasya, austerities and penances; homam, sacrifices; shraddha, the seriousness in spiritual life; adhiti, adityam, means receiving the guests and looking after them; and madarchanam, and worshipping Krishna; tirthadanam, traveling to holy places; and parartheha, tushti, acharya sevanam. Parartheha means that willing to help others in their difficulties; and tushti, always being satisfied and peaceful; and acharya sevanam, serving the spiritual master. So those two verses refers to yamam and niyamam, what is spoken here. Then, so If this yamam niyamam has come to a person, if he has practiced it, Krishna is saying that, after that, you are ready for contacting a spiritual master, to come into contact with a spiritual master. Only if all these qualities are there in a person. The spiritual life works well if we follow the rules. It works well if you follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, and if you do things in a different way, what will happen is, it will be very wobbly. People think, I'll come to spiritual life and then I'll start developing all these qualities after that. Once you do like that, what happens is, because before going to a spiritual master, if these qualities are already there, then there will be some benefit in that relationship with the spiritual master. You can see the logic in that, isn't it? That unless you have, just like the land, you plow the land and prepare the land before you sow the seed into the land, isn't it? And before the plants grow, you have to prepare that land for this benefit of, so that healthy growth will be there for the crop. Suppose the land was not prepared, you just go one morning with all the seeds and the machine and you throw everything. And then you come back, you will see a lot of weeds everywhere. A lot of weeds. That's what you will get when you do the harvesting. Isn't it? So, therefore, the acharyas and the great souls, they say that before you go into spiritual life seriously, let these qualities be there in a person. All yamam and niyamam particularly, be there in a person. And if these qualities are there in a person, what will happen is, when he approaches the spiritual master, a spiritual master which Krishna discusses in the next line, madabhityam gurum shandam upasitam madalmadam. Everything what a spiritual master has to be is spoken in that one line. So if a disciple who has these qualities, what Krishna has spoken till now, and if he has developed all these qualities and then he goes to the spiritual master, and if there is a spiritual master who is of what Krishna has defined here in Srimad Bhagavatam, if they come into contact together, what it will be like? It will be fire, Krishna says. There will be fire. It will be fire. Not the fire I'm talking about, the fire in the kitchen or fire. This fire, what Krishna is talking about, is the fire of knowledge. Proper transmission will happen at that time. That's why first thing, what Krishna has given importance is madabhijñam. Madabhijñam means one who is realized Krishna. One who has realized Krishna. That is the mandatory requirement for a guru. Mandatory requirement for a guru. If he has not realized Krishna, then that relationship may not have any, it will not create the desired result. From that. Therefore it said like this, madabhityam gurum, one who knows me, one who is me, myself, to such an extent he knows me, gurum shandam. What is the quality of that person? He is peaceful. He is not disturbed about anything in this world. He has to be in that state of consciousness. His realization should be so deep, and his realization of Krishna has to be complete. Has to be complete. He must be above the bodily concept of life freely. And he should not feel any disturbances over what goes on in this world. Madabhijñam gurum shandam upasida madalmagam. Virtually he is me, Krishna says. There is not much difference between me and him. Because he is as good as me in everything. That is the position what Krishna has given to him. This is the law. Krishna's law is like that. Krishna's law is like that. So therefore, Krishna also says, you don't have to go around looking for a guru. You don't have to go around looking for a guru. When the flower is ready, the bee will come for the honey. Bee will come for the honey when the flower is ready. When we feel that we are not, I have not found a guru yet. Now what am I supposed to do? Where do I go looking for one? If this way, if you inquire, you will end up in catastrophe. It will be a disaster at the end. Because it doesn't work like that. The very principle of guru and the shishya relationship is like that. Madabhijñam gurum shandam upasita madalmagam. So far in this world, this you can verify. So far in this world, there is not one person who did not become self-realized because he didn't have a guru. Not for that reason. That not because of the absence of, I didn't get a guru. And you also can take it, not everybody who has got a guru, they became self-realized.
You have to look at the other side also, isn't it? We are only looking at one angle, always saying, oh, I didn't get a guru. But Krishna is saying here that for that reason, I have not stopped anyone coming back to me because they didn't get a guru in this world. Krishna takes that responsibility. It is in Krishna's head, that responsibility. We have to do from our side, prepare ourselves ready for that. And when we are ready, Krishna will arrange that. That much faith we must have in Krishna's words in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. If we don't take these words, Krishna's words, then we have to do what we feel is the right thing to do for us. But the fact is this, that from ancient times, that was the system that was followed. That endeavor for spiritual life must continue. And all what Krishna has spoken about spiritual life, we should understand. And Srimad Bhagavatam will tell us that Madhavityam Gurum Shandam Upasidam Adalmagam, that somehow or the other, you will notice when you are ready for it, the Guru will come. From nowhere, you don't know where it will come. That is Krishna's responsibility. That Guru can appear in different ways. Previous Acharyas have come. Ramanujacharya's case, very interesting example like that. When he took sannyas also, he took sannyas like that. That inspired by the previous Acharya. So many instances this has happened in the history. Either from the Purva Acharyas, or also you can also from inside, Krishna will prompt you which way to go further. Spiritual life, you are not alone. Krishna is always with you. And he will take you in every step where you are, if you are sincerely following that. Then, so therefore, when there is sufficient vairagyam, renunciation, and when there is sufficient intense desire for self-realization, and because these are the two important things, isn't it? Vairagyam is necessary. Why? We have to free ourselves from the modes of nature and from material life. And on the other hand, you also have to make sure that your search for the truth becomes very serious. So Krishna is saying here, that kind of desire, intense desire, happens, then you are ready for receiving the truth from a realized soul. That otherwise not. So after hearing about the truth, when one has come to that position, then that hearing process becomes very important about the truth. That's when all the philosophical understanding comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That you understand things on a much deeper level. Some people, they just hear. They hear from cassettes and CDs and all that. And they feel some have comfort at the time when they are hearing. But after hearing that, it's all gone. Again back to the normal life. But that's not the way to go. That is, hearing is, the process is this, that after hearing, the internalization must start. And that start with the material body, isn't it? Material body. Because that's what we are learning here. That, that Krishna is saying here, that one should sit down and think, who am I? What is my real identity? After hearing all these things, if that thought hasn't happened inside, then that is not a very good sign of progress in spiritual life. Who am I? What's my connection with this world? What is my connection with this world? And what is the purpose of my getting this body? I've been given this body. What am I meant to do with this? All these questions should develop inside. And that is when the knowledge side of it is working properly. That's what Krishna talks about it here. That, that in this way, if one starts developing his train of thought, he will come to some conclusions in life that I have taken spiritual life for this purpose. Some clarity will develop inside. Otherwise, there will be no clarity. You'll be thinking that, oh, today this is what you'll be doing things what others have told you to do throughout the life. And you'll keep on doing this. One person will say one thing, another person will say something else, and then you will say, oh, I'll do this for someone, do that for someone, and after that you don't know what you're doing yourself. This situation can happen. Therefore, Krishna is saying, everything what you do, it should be thought through very well. why I am engaging in spiritual life? Am I doing it for the sake of, okay, people will tell you, go back, come back to Godhead. So, even if that conception, if you accept it, going back, come back to Godhead, you have to know how you are going back, why you are going back, and why should you go back. All these questions must come, isn't it? Not that little bit I had disappointment in life, immediately I decide I'm going back, come back to God, I'm not going to stay here anymore. This is not spiritual life. Most of the spiritual life is running on these principles. That, oh, I got disappointed, I lost my job, credit crunch has come, I lost all my money in the share market, now let me go to spiritual life and I go back, come back to Godhead. I become a pure devotee from now on. It won't work like that. This is bogus spiritual life. This is not spiritual life. Spiritual life, Krishna's spiritual life, what Krishna is talking about is this. There is a process, very well clearly defined process, how one should go step by step in spiritual life. And that is understanding what is truth first. And appreciation of truth, what Krishna has spoken. Krishna has given us a very open, open explanation to material world, body, mind and the soul. And Krishna has told us, soul is reality, body, mind and material nature is false. Don't put all your faith in that and waste your time studying that. Having said that, give importance to the soul. If you have come to that conclusion, what Krishna has spoken, then the next thing to do is to think, take further what Krishna has said. Krishna has spoken, this yamam, yamam, cultivate that in life. Once you have done that, and if you have become a proper sadhaka, sadhaka means a proper seeker of the truth, then you should approach the spiritual master. And you should approach such a spiritual master in whom already the fire of spiritual knowledge is burning inside. And in other words, such a deeper realization, realize Krishna deeply, that such a person you should contact. Madhavityam gurim shandam upasidam adalmagam. Those four words are very important. Madhavityam means he has realized Krishna. Gurum shandam. And he is so peaceful in his mind that he is least disturbed what goes on in this world. What goes on in this world? If a spiritual master is getting disturbed over the share market changes, then what spiritual master can help? He is in the same boat as we are, aren't we? The spiritual master should not get disturbed over the credit crunch or the pound dropping its value or anything like that, should not get disturbed. Because all these spiritual masters nothing to do with any of these things. These things are meant for the mundane people. So that's why that shandam word he is referring to. Undisturbed or anything what happens in this world. Absolutely undisturbed or anything. If he is not a spiritual master like that, what will happen is, spiritual master will get disturbed, disciple will also get disturbed, everybody will be disturbed. Then, that spiritual life is useless, isn't it? So, madhavityam gurum shandam, gurum shandam, shandada, that steadiness in mind. Because why? He is realized. That's why it is like that. He is not anymore disturbed over anything in this world, what goes on. Because he knows this world is not the reality. He has given up on this world. Madhavityam gurim shandam upasitam adalmagam. By his upasana, by the way he has served Krishna and realized himself, virtually he has become Krishna's soul. In other words, the soul has become such a close connection with Krishna. That's why he said like that. Madhavityam gurim shandam. So you have to see him as Krishna himself because of that. That is why you have to see him as Krishna's representative. Because he is in that situation. Because of his service to Krishna, he has reached that state. It's not something you can officially put anyone like that. That doesn't make any sense at all. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, not. Or by the Upanishads, no. It has to develop a person, and when that thing happens, you will know it, that person. You will know that person who is in that state of consciousness. That, so therefore it is said, Yamana Bhishnam Se Veda Neman Malpare Kojal Madhavityam Gurum Shandam Upasida Madal Magam. Therefore, it says here that having reflected on this, that this material body's nature, first thing. Once am I this body? That's the first thing you are asking to yourself, isn't it? This body, Shastras are telling us, is like a boat which has got a hole in it. This boat is traveling and it's got a hole in there. What will happen? After some time the boat will sink, isn't it? Agradaha plavaha, that's the definition. Agradaha plavaha. Before the water gets filled in and the boat sinks, you have to take advantage of the boat. What you have got. This body, temporary material body, is nothing but a boat given to us. Plavam sugalpam guru karnadharam. Krishna will talk about it later. Krishna has given us this boat, but this boat has got a hole in it. What is that hole? Two holes in there. Old age and disease. Two holes in that boat. And they will come one after the other. As you get older, the holes will get bigger, more water will come in, and one day the boat will sink. Isn't it? So before the boat sinks, adradaha plavaha, that before that boat sinks, if you can take advantage of that boat, you have made it a success. But if the boat sinks before that happens, you've lost it. You go with the boat. There's nothing we can do about it. You see? That's how spiritual life is. That's why it said that spiritual life is like walking over a razor edge. Why? Because you have got a time limitation and you have got these few things in your hand. What are they? You have got this body which is useful for crossing over the boat. What else have you got? You have got satsangam, association with the devotees. You have got shastram. And the spiritual master who is guiding you through these things. This is all what you have got here to do this. You know, there is a kind of a game they play in the villages. Say a small canal is flowing. Or, so you want to cross from one side to the other side of the canal. And it is a wide canal. So generally what they do, they'll put three or four planks of wood, one next to each other. So someone will run from one side and putting the first feet on the first plank, the next feet on the next plank, like that very fast he has to jump over the canal by putting this plank, by tripping, jumping over these planks to the other side. If you stand on one plank and thinking about the next plank, you'll be gone. You're gone from it. So similarly, in our life in this world also, what Krishna is saying is that all these things, Shastram, Guru and Satsangam, and everything is like these plates, these planks of wood. Use them when you can. Take advantage of all of that and cross over to the other side of eternity, eternal spiritual life, spiritual truth. Realize the truth. That's what Krishna is saying. It is meant for using, for in this world. You have to use them. They are available for you to use it. But utilize them, but cross over to the other side. Adradaha plavaha. That material body, association with devotees, shastram, spiritual master, they are all these wooden planks to come over to the other side. To free yourself from this material existence, to a cycle of birth and death. So therefore, Krishna is saying that madabhityam gurum shandam upasidamahal magam. In order to get this idea strongly in our own mind, you have to be always conscious that the death is approaching very fast. Death is approaching very fast. There is not a lot of time left in life. If you are thinking after 65 is the retirement age, they say, isn't it? Government says 65. And tomorrow, God knows, EU might decide it could be 70. And or they say 75. Government will also decide. But Krishna is not going to change the goalpost. They can change the goalpost. Krishna's goalpost never changes. Krishna says, I have given you the body. I have given you Bhagavatam. I have given you the holy name. Utilize it, jump over it and get over it. Don't worry about the others, other pension age, what they have decided. We are thinking, oh, pension age 65, after 70 I will start my spiritual life. It may not happen. It may not happen. Adridaha plavaha. Body's nature is like that. When it will let you down, you don't know. You don't know. Already, it's already letting you down, but still you are not accepting that. Putting some cream and lipstick and walking around saying that I am you. But that's not going to work very long. That's only a adridaha plavaha. That's what Shastram is saying. So, what we are talking about is,
These things, if that is clear, I am not this body, this body is not mine. These are firm realization has to be there inside. I'm not this body, body is not mine. And this body is not meant for my, it is not going to help me very much in any way. My body is not meant for my sense gratification. If these things has to be very firmly, fixed in one, within oneself, very firmly,
it should be fixed within oneself. And then,
this is the first thing to do. So, when we come to spiritual life, first thing to do is to sit quietly and think about one's own body, what it's worth for. A detailed analysis within oneself. And that analysis should stay deeply inside. And if that changes our way of thinking about the body, then it's good. Because when you analyze your own body, you will know its limitations and all what we have spoken till now. This is the first step in spiritual life, to analyze one's own body. You have to also be clear that this body is, I am not this body, body is not mine, and body is not meant for my sense gratification, all these things. Having done that, we move on to the next level, the mind. Mind is the next thing, isn't it? Because this is what, these things, what is causing us all the different problems. So, this mind's nature, as much as you had difficulty with the body, in understanding the body, you have more difficulty in understanding the mind, isn't it? This body has got one good quality. Although it's bad, it will leave you one day and go. But the other one won't leave you also. So who is bad? The mind is the worst thing. Because that thing inside, he will create more bodies for you, for many more lifetimes to come. So therefore, understanding body and one's own mind is a very important thing in one's own spiritual life. Otherwise, this running around saying that I'm not this body is not going to solve the problem. It won't go like that. And that realization has to develop inside. So Krishna is saying here that by understanding this mind, I have realized one thing. When does mind come into practice in life? When I wake up in the morning, the first thing that comes to me is the false ego. Isn't it? Begins with Ahankaram. I start. Simultaneously, this man also wakes up, the thing called the mind. These are all part of the subtle body. What all? Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam. These four things are called subtle body. Although they are one, for the purpose of their, based on their functional nature, they are divided into these four. Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam. If you ask, where is the mind? Nobody knows. If you say, where is the Buddhi? Somebody says it's here, somebody says somewhere else. But whatever it is not something purely a material thing. This is what I'm saying. Manasa, mind, Buddhi, intelligence, Ahankaram, false ego, and Chittam, the thing that creeps all these things together. This is one entity, but referred to in four ways because there are four different functions, right? So, when the Ahankaram, false ego wakes up in the morning, mind also wakes up. Along with that, in a few minutes, the intelligence also wakes up. So, all these three things have come into action at that time. So immediately then what happens? Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam. These three things are woken up. From Sushupti you have come to the Jagrat state. Now, how does this mind work? This you can analyze at that time. The nature of the mind and the false ego are very closely connected. In the Bhagavadam, the word used is Hridaya Granthi. You will see a word used, Hridaya Granthi. I don't know whether you have noted this particular word, Hridaya Granthi. It occurs in Bhagavatam at different places, in different glorifications. And also in the first canto, in the second chapter, also this word Hridaya Granthi is referred to. Hridaya Granthi is called by another name called as Chijara Granthi, they call it. Why it's called Chijara Granthi? Because this body is a dead matter, isn't it? It's a dead matter it is. And as soon as I wake up, what do?
I identify with the body straight away. You say, I've woken up now. I look at my own body. Everything is in shape. Everything is there. I haven't lost anything in the sleep. All parts and parcels are there in the body. Then body maintenance starts straight away. Bathroom and toilets, all the other things. There itself it has started. You see, the deep-rooted ignorance in us is not easy to wash it off. It is so deeply penetrated inside. Therefore, analysis of all these things are necessary. It may look silly why you have to talk about, oh, I know all these things, you may say. But the fact is that we are still doing the same thing again day after day after day. Why? Because we are not able to disconnect from that, isn't it? So this is called, Jnanis call it as Chijada Granthi. Bhagavatam the word used is Hridaya Granthi. What is this Hridaya Granthi? Hridaya Granthi is nothing but the connection between our mind and our false ego. How the mind and the false ego interact with each other. If you closely observe, you can see this in your daily life, every day, every hour it is happening. This false ego, why it is called Chijada Granthi, as I mentioned before, only when it affects you, your body, you are concerned about it. Have you noticed that? Only when it is affecting you, you will react to it. Otherwise, you won't react to it, anything. Suppose, a husband and a wife are talking at home. They are the best example, isn't it? Because that's what's going on all the time. The husband and wife are talking. Wife is telling the husband about the man next door. He is like this, he is like that, he has done this, he has done that. So many things she is complaining about him. And he is doing some work. He is not bothered about anything. Let her say whatever she has to say. He's saying like that. She is constantly giving out a lot of things about somebody in the next door. And the man is saying like this. And she is observing him. He is not responding to anything. He is busy with his whatever work he is doing. Either he is doing the office work or he is sending some email on the computer to somebody or whatever. He is doing, he is busy with that. Suddenly she realizes that he is not reacting to anything. And he's not taking me very seriously. So what did she say to him? She said, you're also like that. As soon as she said to him that you are also like that, he really woke up. But what did he say? He woke up. Why is that? Why did he do that? Because it hit him. His Granthi, Hridaya Granthi, has been affected. His own Chijada Granthi, that he is this is the ignorance in us, that Chijada Granthi or Hridaya Granthi, as they call it in the Bhagavadam, is nothing but that ego inside connection with the mind. Ego has sent a signal that it's about your ego that's been hurt. Up to that time you are not bothered whether what is or she's, let her talk as much as she wants. That was your mood at that time. But the moment she hit you with this, that you are also like that, immediately you stopped all the work and said, what did you say? What have I done now? And or the next reaction immediately from you comes. Isn't it? This is the nature of that Chijada Granthi. This is the nature of that gland. We talk about thyroid and pituitary and all other glands in this body, isn't it? But there is another gland like this inside, which cannot be operated or which cannot be taken out through operation. That Granthi, that gland has to be killed by spiritual knowledge. Otherwise it will not go, it will stay. So when we identify with the body, what it means is, this identification with this Granthi is very, very strong. Any moment, say somebody makes a report about you in the newspaper, you immediately get affected by that, isn't it? You see, why have we criticized to follow? Politicians are there who are daily used to it. They have no Chijada Granthi, that's all done for. They are so used to their whatever you tell them, nothing affects them. Their skin is so thick that the gland never gets affected by anything. They are so shameless about everything. But ordinary people, normally people they get affected by that. As soon as it hits, affects you. Therefore it is said in the Bhagavadam, this is mentioned in many places. You may not have noticed it, how this Hridaya Granthi is affected. Bhagavadam uses the word Hridaya Granthi. In the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavadam, when the Matsyavataram, the fish incarnation happened,
when the fish incarnation happened, Satyavrata Muni, who was the king, isn't it? Satyavrata, King Satyavrata, boarded the boat, and after 7 days, the floods all stopped. The rain stopped, and with that the floods also stopped. At that point, Krishna appeared in the form of fish. The fish incarnation happens at that time. And Krishna was glorified by Satyavrata Muni at that time. Satyavrata Muni glorified Krishna at that time. And there is that prayer, Satyavrata Muni will say to Krishna, the word he has used is, grandhin hridayan, vivranasvamekaham. That hridaya grandhi, vivranasvamekaham. Please break that grandhi, that gland in me, which has connected me and my body together, my mind and the false ego together. Grandhin hridayan, vivranasvamekaham. That hridaya grandhi, please break that away for me. Only Krishna can break that gland. We can't do anything about it. This is how deep this thing is in us. That hridaya grandhi is so strong in us that we may say so many things, but at the end of the day, you will see only in crisis, you will know how that hridaya grandhi works, how strongly it works. So, in the Bhagavatam, in first canto, if you take, go home, and you take the first canto, and in the second chapter, the purpose of bhakti process, Sukadeva Goswami will say there, vidyade hridaya grandhi, chidyande sarva samshayaha, kshiyande chasya karmani, drishta evalman ishvare. This is the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidyade hridaya grandhi, when bhakti develops inside, through proper knowledge and realization, when proper bhakti develops in the heart, what will happen? Vidyade hridaya grandhi, hridaya grandhi will break. That's what will happen. And those who have broken their hridaya grandhi, this gland inside, they are the great devotees. And that is why when we see those devotees, we cannot understand them, because they have no hridaya grandhi. We have very strong hridaya grandhi inside. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you look into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamritam, there are many, many pastimes of Mahaprabhu nobody could understand. Nobody could understand them. They just had to stand and observe them. Very close associates. Of course, the close associates knew this. But ordinary people did not know what these pastimes are all about. They didn't understand it. But the nature of a person who has no such hridaya grandhi will be very much appear to us as though it is some mad activity. Many, many great personalities, if you look, you will see their activities are not in conformity with the standard we have set up for behavior in this world. Our standard is based on hridaya grandhi standard. In other words, that we have such strong hridaya grandhi that we consider that these things are the right way to behave or accept or live in this world. But those who have broken that hridaya grandhi and gone away from this vidyate hridaya grandhi, or great devotees, their activities you cannot understand, because they are not acting with the hridaya grandhi inside. For us, when we execute any work or any duty in this world, we take into account many things, isn't it? How it affects others, or how it will come back to me first. You will think about that. So many things you consider. Why? Because there is no spiritual realization. Everything on a material calculation we are operating, isn't it? We are calculating on a material platform. Everything. If I have to pay the council taxes, I curse the council and pay the taxes, isn't it? So every year council is increasing the taxes. And you are saying, where is all this money going? So all these kind of things, why? Purely material calculations. All the bills are paid in the same way, not out of happiness, but out of force to give. Therefore, similarly, material dealings are all based on hridaya grandhi. But spiritually realize the soul. Vidyade hridaya grandhi. That is the first thing Sudha Goswami is saying to Shravanaka Rishi, that when one has come to the pure devotee's platform,
what will happen to him is vidyate hridaya granthi. He will break this hridaya granthi. For him, there is no more separate existence from Krishna. That is why it happens that he has come to that level of realization that everyone is Krishna's expansions, Krishna's part and parcel. Why I should think about him in a wrong way or any other kind of ill feelings towards another living entity? And he also sees through Maya properly. So therefore, no Hridaya Granthi. What will next will happen? Chidyante sarva samshayaha. No, chidyante sarva samshayaha. All the doubts also will go away from inside. Doubts means what? You have so many doubts, we all have so many doubts. Doubts are purely material. Doubts is not spiritual. Doubts are material. Why? In the not realized, once you have realized the truth, where is the question of doubt? Because you have not realized, you keep on doubting. Doubting Thomas, they call everything doubting. So, thus doubts will carry on. Doubts has no value. Why? Because of lack of self-realization. So, vidyate hridaye granthi, chidyante sarva samshayaha. All samshayam is gone. These are the nature of the self-realized soul. That's why it is spoken. Kshiyande chasya karmani. He has no more karmam to perform anymore. Why? He is released from the bondage of karmam also. So, freed from karmam, freed from doubts, and free from hridaye granthi. Then what will happen? That's the next line. Vidyate hridaye granthi, chidyande sarva samshayaha, kshiyande chasya karmani. Then, drishtoye valmani ishvare. Inside the soul, which is inside, you will see that this has a close connection with Krishna. It is Krishna who is sitting there as the soul. That realization will come. Now, this verse is in the first canto, second chapter. Where did this verse come from? Sudha Goswami did not repeat this verse. Only thing what he has done is, it has come from the Upanishads. It has come from the Upanishads. The same verse you will find in the Upanishads, which were written much before Srimad Bhagavatam. The only difference is, vidyate hridaya granthi, chidyante sarva samshayaha, kshiyante chasya karmani. In Bhagavatam it says, drishtoye vatmani ishvare. In the Upanishads it says, drishtoye eva paravare. That's the only difference. Paravare and Ishvare, there is no difference. It's the same thing. One and the same thing. Paravare and Ishvare, in Bhagavatam it is Ishvare, in Upanishads it is Paravare. Paravare means the truth, absolute truth. That's all. So, as we have seen before, that this realization, vidyate hridaya granthi, chidyante sarva samshayaha, kshiyande chasya karmani, drishtayeva atmani ishvare, drishtayeva paravare. It's the same thing. So, this is what will happen. When a person has analyzed that the material body has its limitations, we are going back to the same what we have spoken before. Understood the material body's limitations, and identification with material body is not going to take him anywhere. If he continuously wastes all his lifetime in maintaining this body and thinking that he is the body and he lives a life like that, he has wasted his life. He has lost it. So, first thing to question oneself, am I this body? And what's the purpose of having this body? And what can I attain with this body? What can I achieve with this body? And to be conscious of all the limitations of this body. Having done that and having realized that adridaha pravaha, it's only worthwhile for using this purpose for self-realization and utilize for that whatever necessary for that, use the body in that way. That's all you can do. Use the body in such a way that it will help your self-realization process. That's all you can do. So having done that, leave the body behind. Its limitations you have already recognized. Then second thing, after that you have to accept it. That was the first step. Second thing is the mind. Mind, you have thought through it and you saw where the mind is coming from and what damage the mind is doing to yourself. All these are, you see, when you relate with the world outside, you do it through the senses. Isn't it? The outside world, the contact is through senses. So the senses drag you to the world outside. Is it true or not? That the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, everything, what it does is, it gives you, the individual, soul, to make a contact with the world outside. So, all what the senses are doing is not allowing you to go inwards, it drag you outwards, isn't it? So you have an enemy outside in the form of these senses. That's why we were talking about 24 spiritual masters, if you remember, all the five senses were also taken seriously there. Because how they destroy your thinking, how they destroy your thought process by taking your mind outwardly and taking it outwards and dragging you externally. Similarly, just like the senses are doing this job outside, mind does the same job inside. If you allow the mind to take control of your thoughts and 24 hours absorbed in the mental platform or allowing the mind to operate freely, then the mind will also, he is your enemy inside. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, mind is your enemy and as well as your friend. If you learn how to get this mind under control by proper scrutiny and learn that what does the mind does to me, all the mind does in is, it's only keeping this ahankara granthi or hridaya granthi growing all the time. All the time, hridaya granthi is getting strengthened. So, it's not allowing the hridaya granthi to weaken, it strengthens the hridaya granthi. And as the hridaya granthi gets stronger and stronger, what will happen is, you will become victimized by the hridaya granthi. And for a devotee, he can't afford to have this hridaya granthi. Hridaya granthi is one thing that is stopping you from surrendering to Krishna. Isn't it? So accepting Krishna is difficult when there is a strong hridaya granthi inside. So therefore, sharanagati becomes difficult. When we say sarvadharma parityaja samyagam sharanam vraja, these are all behind it. This hridaya granthi is strongly there, not allowing you to surrender because it has developed so, grown up so strongly inside, it needs to be wiped out. So, that who can do that? Only Krishna can do that. Therefore, it says that, grandhin hridayan vivanaswami egaha, that hridayan grandhi has to be broken up by Krishna and Krishna. And Satyavrata Muni prays to Krishna for that. And in the first canto also you will notice the same thing mentioned. So, therefore, what you will find here is that this hridaya granthi, this should be scrutinized very well. What does this hridaya granthi mean? We can explain it to so in detail, but we won't go so much into it because then it becomes very difficult that how do we get out of it, that question will come. So hridaya granthi is nothing but our body, our extensions and our other desires inside that we have built up within us. For example, everything when it touches your hridaya granthi, you get affected. I mentioned before through that example how it gets affected. It is the same thing with our family life also. And when the hridaya granthi gets stronger, what will happen is you cannot see anything else in life except yourself, your family, your extended family and your interests. Nothing else. Remember, what is happening actually is, I mentioned in the last class also, that identification with the body and hridaya granthi has become so powerful, that I'll start thinking, I should be happy in this world. Nothing should happen to me first. My body, I should be, what happens in Palestine, Israel and all, that's their problem. It's nothing to do with me. I can't do anything about it, and whatever happens, it will happen. I can't say anything. I can't help them. Of course, at that point, we will start thinking this way, not only passing anything else in this world, it becomes more and more self-centered about one's own happiness in this world. In addition to that, I should be happy. My happiness depends on my health, my wealth, and my material circumstances. That everything should be fine. After that, those who are giving me happiness in this world, like my wife, my children, and close, immediate family. Then after that, once they are all happily situated, they are all doing okay, they don't have any problems in their health, they are doing, they are living a life comfortable, and they are also happy. Because they are happy, I am also happy. In this way it goes. Next step, after that we think about the another distant relatives. Next set of relatives who are close aunts, uncles, in-laws and their parents, grandparents. All these things comes after that. So, after, when all of them are happily situated, then we are thinking that, well, people are saying there's a God, so if that God can help me in keeping all my programs going nicely, all the so-called family life and my extended family life, it all goes very well. If Krishna or Gokulananda can help me in that, in my plans, then I'm willing to help Krishna also from my own way. You know, I'll make some offering to Krishna, as so much money or so much help. And if Krishna in return should provide me with all these things. All this is what you are running around inside your Hridaya Granthi, in Chijara Granthi. That's all this is all about. Within this Chijara Granthi, it is a circle. And in that circle, you are running around with these thoughts. That's all. Nothing. You have not escaped from anything. You have nowhere got anywhere closer to spiritual life. But many people in life, for them, spiritual life is all these things. What satisfies their Chijara Granthi or Hridaya Granthi? That's their spiritual life. Krishna is saying here that when you come to spiritual life, this understanding is important. Because these are the things that is stopping you from realizing the self. That's stopping you from realizing the self, especially this Hridaya Granthi. So, this is the science related to us. Therefore, that you can see this in your own, one's own life, how silly we are sometimes. Say for example, you lost a lot of money in some deal. You lost a lot of money. You felt very bad throughout the day. Oh, this shouldn't have happened. I should have done this, that and the other. So many things. And whole day you were depressed and felt very demoralized about life and this, that and the other. As soon as you fell asleep and went to Sushupti, is that distress following you? The distress is gone. At least at that time distress is not there, isn't it? Similarly, you lost a very close relative, somebody very close to you, and you felt very bad, you felt very sad about it, cried the whole day, or he left me or she left me, whatever it is. And at the end, crying, you tired eventually and you slept. You went into deep sleep. Is that separation bothering you at that time? Forget about that. You won a lottery, £10 million jackpot you won. And throughout the day you celebrated, went here, there, everywhere, didn't know what to do with the money and how to plan for the future. So many things you did. In the night you went to sleep. As you went to Sushupti, there is no money there. Is there? So you can see that Chijara Granthi or the Hridaya Granthi and all its activities cannot touch Sushupti. It cannot touch Sushupti. It can only touch you in the Jagrat state. Sometimes it can happen in a different way. How is that means? You became so happy you can't sleep at night. That happens. Yeah. But one day you have to sleep. You cannot go on like that forever, can you? Because you will sleep one day, but when you sleep, when you get into deep sleep, this happiness and this distress could not touch you. Could not touch you at that time. That is showing to us that suptasya vishayan loko dhyayadova manoradhaha nanatmagatva divala tadha bhedalpadir gunehi. This bhedam of bhedam, what you are experiencing in this happiness and distress and all that, is purely based on the modes of nature. Purely based on the modes of nature as well as the avastatrayam. This is called avastatrayam. Avastatrayam means Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Avastatrayam. Krishna will talk about this later in the 13th chapter much more when we talk about Hamsa Gita. So here Krishna is saying as an introduction to that, prior to going into that topic in detail, Krishna is saying here that try always be clear in your own mind or your own thinking that Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti are three states of existence and these three states affects you in three different ways. Affects you in three different ways. What is applicable and affecting you in Jagrat need not affect you in Sushupti or Swapna. Yeah? what is affecting you in Swapnam. You wake up in the morning and you are saying, oh, I had a dream like this. But when you were in the Swapnam state, it was a reality for you. You have suffered from that. But sometimes the power of Jagrat becomes so strong that it starts penetrating into the Swapnam and starts disturbing you. Or Swapnam penetrates into Jagrat and disturbs you. So, this Jagrat and Swapnam are very closely connected, but not Sushupti. Sushupti is the state where you have cleared off from the Jagrat state and the Swapnam state. You are completely independently situated in Sushupti. So while being in Sushupti, you can notice one thing, that you were not dependent on what the mind or the body was experiencing in Jagrat and Swapnam. This clarity is needed inside, because otherwise what will happen is, see, we are acting all the time identification with the body. Everything what we do in this world is in identification with the body. And when things go correct, we feel great pride, I have done it. Since in the life, tennis starts to be like this. We also do that, but others may not notice it. When something goes well. But this is all in ignorance, that's what Krishna is saying here. That in Jagrat and Swapnam, so many things will happen, but one who has understood these three states of existence, and he has understood how Sushupti state is a much more, where there is freedom from mind, freedom from the senses, freedom from the body, is that state what is much more conducive for peacefulness. Isn't it? More conducive for peacefulness. So if that peacefulness, if you can bring it into Jagrat state, you are self-realized. In the Jagrat state, unfortunately, as soon as we come to Jagrat, the body comes in, the senses comes in, the mind comes in, everything starts influencing us. That's what it is saying here. Therefore, what we have seen is that then happiness, distress, everything, this is the only one thing Upanishads, Vedas, Shruti, Puranam, Bhagavadam, Vedas, everything has to say this only one thing. That happiness what you have experienced in that deep sleep. Vedic philosophy is not something just giving instructions, follow these commandments and do it throughout life. No, it is based on logic. And you can see the logic if you follow it through. Otherwise you won't be able to understand that also. Because it says here that, if you remember, in the Mahabharata war, Yudhishthira Maharaj went there to see Bhishma. You remember? In Mahabharata war, Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows. So, Krishna deliberately took, you remember in the first canto, we spoke about that. Krishna deliberately organized this trip for all the Pandavas to come. And Krishna himself went there, and along with them, also all the great sages were present there. All the great sages were present in that meeting. So during that meeting, Krishna spoke through Bhishma everything to the Pandavas. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj won't listen from Krishna. At that point, Yudhishthira Maharaj's mood was like that. He was saying that you are the cause of everything. You created this fight. You created this war. And you killed so many people. Now, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, in the 8th chapter, I think, in the first canto, Bhishma Stuti chapter, while going to see the Bhishma lying on the bed of arrows, the first verse itself says that Yudhishthira Maharaj was very disturbed while going to see Bhishma. Because, first of all, Yudhishthira Maharaj has forgotten about Bhishma. After the war, 58th day was the Bhishma leaves his body. So, 18-day war was over and Bhishma had to lie on the Sharashaya, the bed of arrows, for remaining 40 days. So, during that time, in the palace, Yudhishthira Maharaj's palace, there was this crisis building up. Yudhishthira was feeling very awful about the consequences of the Mahabharata war. Millions of people were killed. Many women were left without their husbands. Many children were without their father. And so much unhappiness in the society. And Yudhishthira took it upon himself, all these things. So he started analyzing in his mind. why this so much things are, why did this happen? Why, like we also do, isn't it? When a crisis comes, what do? We start thinking, why did this happen? So naturally, Vishnu Maharaj also did exactly the same thing. He started thinking, why did this war happen? And because it was on a much larger scale, in our life it is on a much smaller scale. But when it happens on a much larger scale, what happens? The king is a king and his guilty consciousness was giving him a lot of trouble. He was feeling very guilty that this war could have been avoided. Because he was a very pious king and a devotee, he naturally thinks like that. Nowadays nobody thinks like that. They think, somebody else is dying, what does it matter to me? I'll send the army. Army is somebody else's children, doesn't bother me. So, only 5 years I'm going to be here, after that I'll be forgotten. After that I'll write books and then I'll go and lecture in all the universities and collect a lot of money from there also. So these are the people who are leading us in the spiritual, in the material world. So you can see that what happened was that Yudhishthira Maharaj was not running around to give lectures after the war in the university to collect his foundation money for the foundation. He was not that kind of person. He reflected. He thought, why did this happen? And in his guilty feeling inside, the guilt, that I had done something very seriously wrong, he felt like that. And because of that, he couldn't sleep at night. You see, the good consciousness of that, a great personality, he couldn't sleep at night, that I have done something seriously wrong. I should have avoided this war. This was the thought going through. So, initially, he mentioned this to Arjuna and Bhima, and told a few things here and there. So Arjuna and Bhima thought that after all this war has happened, Krishna was very much a part of it, and without Krishna's sanction it shouldn't have happened. And they started advising Vishnu Maharaj that you should not talk about it like this, because what has happened is some supreme will is behind it. War we couldn't help, we tried to avoid, we did everything we can prior to the war. We sent Krishna for negotiations to avoid the war, and still it did not work. That is how Bhima and Arjuna spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira says to them that he was not the right person for negotiation. Krishna was not the right person for negotiation. I never trusted him, Yudhishthira says. Because I knew from the very beginning that he has been making plans for this war. And if you use such a person as a negotiated partner, for negotiation purposes, what will happen? He was trying to create the war as quickly as possible, and he was not the right person for the job. Yudhishthira says to Bhima and Arjuna. Arjuna and Bhima told him that don't talk like this. Krishna was in the palace that time. So initially Krishna didn't hear. Of course Krishna heard. But Krishna knows every single thing, what is spoken, even thought inside. He is inside, outside, everywhere. Everything we knew. But he didn't say one word. His elder brother, isn't he? Krishna's elder brother is Yudhishthira. When Krishna sees Yudhishthira, Krishna pays his obeisances to Yudhishthira, being the elder brother. And to Bhima. Arjuna is the same age, so they embrace each other. Nakula and Sahadeva pays their obeisances to Krishna. So this is a family relationship. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj said like this, Bhima and Arjuna told him to keep quiet, not to mention this anymore. Then it started coming out much more openly. He started saying, it's all because of Krishna alone and nobody else is responsible for this war. With the result that I am now responsible for this, he said. So Krishna, so at that time Arjuna comes to Yudhishthira, to Krishna and says to him, look, when I fell into similar situation before, Shoka Samvigna Manasa, in the Bhagavad Gita it says, isn't it? Shoka Samvigna Manasa means, in a sign of a depression, I fell in one time. And you spoke Bhagavad Gita to me and got me out of that depression, didn't you? Arjuna says to Krishna. Krishna says, yes. So why don't you do that with Yudhishthira? Why don't you speak? Arjuna thought that maybe if Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira and Yudhishthira understands that, he may come out of this depression. That's what he was thinking. Arjuna said, I'll speak to him and see what happens, he said. So Krishna comes in, and in the assembly of all the Pandavas, all the great sages, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Kunti Devi, they were all present there. In that assembly, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj. when he heard, Yudhishthira sat there and heard the whole Bhagavad Gita and fell asleep. Fell asleep like we hear Bhagavatam. After hearing for 1 or 2 hours, we start getting good sleep, isn't it? So same thing happened to Yudhishthira Maharaj also. Practically the same thing. Like the way we hear Bhagavatam, Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj heard Bhagavad Gita. And after hearing Bhagavad Gita, when everything was over, Yudhishthira lifted his head and said to Krishna, "Is it over now?" That was the answer. So Krishna realized it, that Yudhishthira was not trusting Krishna. So there is no point in Krishna talking anymore. So Krishna asked Yudhishthira, "Who should tell you that so that you will accept that you have not done a wrong thing, that this war was not immoral, or it was not adharma, against religious principles? Who should tell you that?" Krishna says to Yudhishthira. So Yudhishthira said that there is no one I can think of, he said, including Bhishma Pitamaha, whom we were respecting a lot, we had a lot of respect for him, even he has been killed, hasn't he? Said. Krishna says, no, he's still lying there, he has not gone yet, he said. Alright, let's go to him then. This is how that journey started. So all of them went to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. Now you have to remember who else was there. It's a very important person in that. Not Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami went with them. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see the name mentioned who all went there to see Bhishma. So because Sukadeva Goswami was there, he knew, he could report precisely what was happening there in Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, the report is so accurate that what all happened there. When they went there, the discussion started. When they went there, the discussion started. And Yudhishthira started saying all kinds of problems to Bhishma. And Bhishma Pitamaha gave him one answer. It's a beautiful answer in the Mahabharatam. What did he say to him? Mahabharatam, Bhishma says to Krishna Maharaj, "Yudhishthira, these problems, if you keep thinking about it, there is no solution for these problems." The word he has used is, here he says here, "Yadesham na anuchindanam." Yadesham na anuchindanam. Whenever these are problems of this magnitude is there in life, you should not waste your time thinking about it. Thinking will not give you any solution to the problem. This is the most important thing. What do? When we fall into depression, thinking starts deeper, isn't it? We become more and more deeper. No sleep at night, put the lights on, take Srimad Bhagavatam, look at it, is there any answer there for my problems? Or do things like that, go to a consultant or counseling or this, that, how to get out of the problem, go around all over the world looking for. Yadesham na anuchindanam. When such thought, difficult situation comes in life like that, don't waste your time thinking about it. Why? Bhishma Pitamaha knew very well who is behind it. This was the reason. Bhishma Pitamaha says, if you read Bhishma Stuti in the Bhagavatam, you will see he brings this out one after the other to convince Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira, you are thinking you are responsible for everything, that you are the one who is doing it. If you know, Yadyuyam Dharmanandana Vipra Achyuta Dharma Ashrayaha, you have taken shelter of the Vedic tradition, Vipra Brahmana, Achyuta, Krishna and Dharma. Having taken shelter of all these three things, why did this happen? That's what Bhishma is asking. And there he is saying that there is something else working behind it. And that's what we were discussing in the morning, earlier in the class, that this body and so many things what's happening on life is not in your control. Vishnu Vidamaha, yet Eshana Anichindanam. Simply thinking about it to solve that problem is not going to work. That's the message. Yet Eshana Anichindanam. If you can use the body, whichever way it is helpful for you in your spiritual purpose, spiritual pursuit, well and good. If it's not cooperating, it's not helping, you should not break your head and nerves over it, thinking that how can I start spiritual life after getting my body. Body will not any day tell you that I am ready for spiritual life. Oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada.